Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and this is your daily dose on all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, y'all. We're back into the work week. Sigh, get in your cars, turn up the podcast. I hope I can make your commute just a little bit better, or your work day if you're listening to me at your desk. But the combine's over, which means we have a lot to talk about. Yay! It's going to be fun. We got 40 times and cone times and shuttle times, and a lot of this stuff is just numbers. But I'm going to get into it and talk about where some of the things that we could look to, because this is also just the beginning of what we're going to be looking at with a lot of these college prospects. There's still a ton of pro days. I'll be talking about more ways and you can be a better fan understanding what just happened at the combine. So going over that, going to go over some more NFL notes of what happened, what's been happening over the weekend, rumors we're hearing about what's going on in the league and how that could impact the upcoming free agency period and eventually the draft. Then, of course, finishing with Mock Draft Monday. That's right. We have a new mock draft to go over from thedraftnetwork.com, and I will announce this week's winner of Mock Draft Monday from the Locked On Steelers Facebook page and all those who posted their submissions of their own mock drafts. Let's get into the show. All right, as I said, everybody, happy Monday. It's always tough starting off the weekend, but I had a good weekend. I finally got some sleep, y'all. You guys know how little sleep sometimes you get out here. It is rough. I hope you're getting a lot of sleep out there and you're drinking lots of water. Just, if you're reading this and you haven't drank any water yet today, make sure you do as soon as you can. But let's get into the actual things we're going to talk about today, starting with the combine. Now, yesterday, the defensive backs ran. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time looking at defensive backs. Maybe down the line, I want more time to kind of take in all the data and combine it and chop it up and compare it. So I'm not going to get into the defensive backs just yet, because also that's not really a priority for the Steelers this year. Maybe they're going to get a depth cornerback at some point. Maybe they're going to get a depth safety at some point. But we're looking at offensive contributors, and that's primarily linemen, running backs, receivers, and tight ends, and maybe a quarterback if, you know, a guy from this top group falls into like that compensatory pick range. But let's talk about what we saw over this weekend. I didn't get a chance to really talk about the running backs as much because they ran Friday evening, so that was before the Friday show. But we had a particular running back that broke the 4.4, and that was Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. Taylor, you know, again, had, he was of the top backs in this class, he had the most, he was tied with Dobbins for the most rushing yards, one of the best producers in college football out of Wisconsin. His biggest problem is he's a bit of a fumbler, and a lot of people are concerned because he had over 900 carries in his collegiate career, which usually historically does mean that, you know, you may have a shorter lifespan in the NFL. But all that aside, Taylor's still an interesting prospect. Had some guys that popped up and had really good performances to boost their profile. One guy that I've talked about with a couple listeners in the Facebook group and people that ask me about players. Again, if you ever want to ask me about someone that you see or what I think about a player, hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques, or go to the Facebook group Locked On Steelers, ask to join it. You can pop a question in there, drop a post. You'll probably get my comments as well as maybe, you know, anyone else that you ask for, because we have hundreds of Steelers fans and Locked On Steelers fans specifically that are in that group posting every day and talking about it. It's a nice friendly group. We all have a good time in there. But one guy that I've talked about with some people is Anthony McFarland out of Maryland. Now, McFarland has a really good profile when you look at how he plays, but his problem is his injury history. He's just run up against it, so he's dropped way down the boards. But he ran a 4.44. That means 4 seconds and 4.44 seconds. But that's a really good 40 time. And you know, you look at that and you're thinking, hey, maybe that means something. Then you look at his broad jump time. Now, the broad jump, you may think like, well, no one's ever going to stand with a wide stance and jump that far, Chris. That's not a football thing. Well, but the broad jump is usually very good for telling how explosive someone is with their footwork and how much boost they can get, you know, from their lower body and how much they can power through. He didn't have the best in that. He had a 116 in inches. That was it. But one guy that really surprised in that department was A.J. Dillon out of Boston College. He led all running backs with 131 inches. Thought that was very interesting. So there's guys like that. But other guys that really stood out in this drill, were Cam Akers from Florida State, who I thought really did himself some favors in this combine. You know, I like Cam Akers on tape, but my biggest question when I've studied him is that he ran a lot of Wildcat, and that Florida State offense that was just, it had to be predicated on non-NFL style offenses because their line was just so atrocious. So it's a, there's a good thing there because, hey, he produced without a, he produced really well in college without a good offensive line, and in a conference, the ACC, that can be tough. But he also, you know, you're wondering, can he do, you know, produce like that in the NFL? Yeah, he did. He did a good job as far as showing whether or not that actually will translate with his career. But again, we're gonna see a lot of these guys in their pro days and stuff, and so then that's when we're gonna get a better chance to look at some things. DeAndre Swift also had a 4.48, decent 40 time there. Guys who didn't shine as much that we were looking for to see how they did, included Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who he's the quickster out of LSU. Though I'm not too concerned because he ran his time was a 4.60 flat, and that's a not really a fast time for a running back. But also when you look at the guy's footwork, and he was also Dale Lally's new pick as a mock draft selection for the Steelers. He looked really quick in space. The biggest thing for running backs, like Le'Veon Bell, he didn't have a great 40 time, and he wasn't a home run hitter. But the biggest thing for running backs for me are, can you process what the line is doing in front of you? Can you make people miss in space? Can you make people miss in the hole? And can you protect the football? You do those things, as well as maybe, you know, improve your pass protection, help out protect your quarterback when you're the sidecar in the shotgun. Do those things well. That's what will translate well to the NFL. Edwards-Helaire does a lot of that. But another guy that struggled with the 40 was Zach Moss out of Utah, who is being looked at as maybe one of the top three running backs of this class. Now, J.K. Dobbins for Ohio State didn't run this time. So that's it again. We're going to be looking for his pro day with Ohio State, see how he does. But Zach Moss's 40 might have been hampered because in his vertical jump, it was said that from Adam Schefter on ESPN that Zach Moss tweaked his hamstring, but he wanted to power through to show that he was tough and that he was going to be able to run his 40 time. So he finished with a 4.65, not impressive, but again, he's a big back. You know, he's not a guy we're looking to be a speedster. But he's going to have a pro day with Utah. He's going to get a chance to show off his stuff. I think that's the bottom line there with what we're looking at. Other guys that kind of shined in this department, when we're looking at other things, you know, talking about other positions, I talked about before with the receivers, of course, Henry Ruggs blowing everyone away with a 4.27 40 time. And he's one of those guys that, you know, normally when someone runs a sub 4.4, I'm like, man, that's impressive for the combine. But is that guy going to produce the NFL? Usually the answer is no, because guys that are just track stars don't always make it. You need football speed. You need the ability to catch the ball. You need to know how to run different routes. Henry Ruggs has kind of shown that he can run different routes. So there's some excitement there, at least. Antonio Gibson out of Memphis, he's a prospect that I like. He ran a sub-4.4. He ran a 4.39 to be exact. There's Denzel Mims out of Baylor. He ran a 4.38. Chase Claiborne out of Notre Dame ran a 4.42. That's always exciting to look at. That 4.42 range, y'all, I'm going to let you know, like, first of all, if a receiver's running anywhere below 4.45, they're quick is all get out. If they're in the 4.42 range, that's what Martavis Bryant ran in the combine. So just picture Martavis Bryant's overall speed and put it on that kind of player, and that's what you're looking at. Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame, he ran a 4.42. And that was extremely impressive because when you look at how he's graded around the place, he has an interesting catch radius. He's explosive. He's a guy that, you know, he did really well, I believe, on the bench press drill for everyone. He measures very well as far as comparisons to NFL players. So looking at that, I'm kind of just like, man. And also he had 19 reps on the drill. The top guy was Wisconsin's Quintez Cephas. Right behind him was Liberty's Antonio Gandy-Golden with 22 reps. Gandy-Golden, a really tall guy, made a really impressive catch in the Senior Bowl. Keep an eye on him for the later rounds. So interesting things that happened there. As far as the tight end position, we also talked about that a little bit. Albert Okwuegbunam, Okwuegbunam from out of Missouri, he had the fastest time with a 4.49. A 4.48, you know, debatable with the unofficial times, but he had the fastest time of the tight ends. As far as like other drills, you saw some interesting things with the linebackers. Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson ran a 4.39. Holy smoke, is that guy fast! Now for comparisons, Simmons is 6'4", played almost every position on the defense outside of defensive tackle. And projects to be, you know, a top five pick. But if you want a comparison, Ryan Shazier ran a 4.37 on his pro day in Ohio State. He didn't run at his combine back in 2014. Other top linebackers that fit up there: Willie Gay Jr., Mississippi State, 4.46. Keep an eye on that. I'm sure the Steelers might. I do think the Steelers are going to be looking at a depth linebacker to put behind Bush and Williams, and you know, maybe Barron, but I just think Barron's going to be gone. Patrick Queen ran a 4.5. He's another guy that people have been looking at. But the bottom line is that there's been a lot of impressive performances here. Some people that have stood out, some people that kind of stood back. But don't get too caught up in these numbers, y'all. Don't try to sell the farm just for some guys that are on these lists. There's a lot to still come out from here. I'm going to get to my first commercial break here. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about what's going on in the NFL. Then we're going to dive into Mock Draft Monday. Be right back after this. All right, we're back here. Let's get into some of the stuff that I've been seeing percolating on the timelines out there, just for just news and conversation around the NFL. I saw a lot of people tweeting about Tom Brady going to the Raiders and it being finalized and all this other stuff. And I was like, wait, where's this coming from? And then it all stems from a fake report about that said that Mike Garofalo, I think of Good Morning Football, saying that that he was definitely going there, and it wasn't really him that said it. It was a joke, and it seems like it's just a lot of people playing around. Got to be very careful with what you believe out there on social media, you guys. And it caused me to look at it too. I was like, oh, let me see what this is about, and then I'm like, ah, okay, that's not it. But one thing that I think is clear: nothing's going to be settled. And again, this is why I check with people that I trust. And I hope that I can be someone that y'all trust to listen to. This was an interesting tweet from Adam Schefter that happened on the 27th. And it said, basically, discussions around the new CBA are what's holding up what's going on with Tom Brady and the Patriots, just like it's probably what's holding up Bud Dupree and the Steelers. Everyone wants to know what are the terms that they're dealing with. What is the exact cap space? What's going on? What can the teams expect in 2021 as well? Because remember, some of these contracts, they're going to go multiple years. Tom Brady wants to play until he's 45, supposedly. So that means he's going to be around for a few more years. That means that teams are going to be taking that seriously. If you're looking at that and you know that you have more space in 2021, you can sign for, you know, Bud Dupree and guys, you know, that are in the free agency period market right now for longer, bigger contracts. But if you're not looking at that, then you don't know, which is, it's a big reason why the NFL is trying to push and say to the NFLPA, hey, you got to sign this deal right now. Hey, let's get this out of the way, because they want, as an organization, to be able to plan stuff right now. While the players, you know, some of the bigger names are saying, hey, you know, we want to be able to organize and fight for better deals and not have to play as much and not be able to make more of the pie, the piece of the pie that is the NFL. So, you know, a lot of stuff's going to go into that. But until that deal is signed, I don't expect a whole lot of stuff. It's also why they expanded the franchise tag period. Normally that period would be over before free agency, and that would allow things. Now they're kind of stretching it out a little bit, giving teams more time to get these deals done, because they're hoping that the CBA will get done soon. Don't forget, Kevin Colbert, you know, made it clear he wants the team to be able to keep Bud Dupree long term. He said that at the combine. He also talked about, you know, them. He also said to Missy Matthews, so this is some more Steelers news that he came up with over the weekend. He also said to Missy Matthews that Stephon Tuitt is on track to return on time next year, which is going to be huge. I really think if the Steelers have Watt, Dupree, Tuitt, and Hayward as a front four starting, I think that could be the best front four in the NFL, and it could be could allow them to be very diverse in how that they want to win at the line of scrimmage, but with pass rush and stopping the run. So I think that, again, that's just why I see Dupree as such a priority in this offseason. If everyone can be back and healthy, which, I mean, if you think about it, none of these guys have been healthy and good at the same time. You know, Bud Dupree, you know, there was a few games this year where Bud Dupree was coming on and Stephon Tuitt was there, but then by the Chargers game, Tuitt was gone for the rest of the season. So imagine if Watt and Dupree at full strength and Tuitt and Hayward at full strength, and if Hayward, you know, can get off, it can have a complete season, because there was one year where Hayward went down and Tuitt had to step up. Imagine if all four of these guys get on fire at the same time, how amazing that would be. But again, none of this can be solidified until that CBA gets down. I mean, and maybe it can be. Maybe the Steelers will step out on the ledge and make a deal at some point because they feel like they get something right. But I just think that all these teams that know what they're doing, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Packers fall into that as far as a good organization and how they run from top to bottom. These are organizations that know what the game is. They know the smart practices and the bad practices, and they're going to avoid that. Now, other teams, they may try to make stabs. The Raiders are a team historically that's been very aggressive to get the players that they want. And John Gruden could go all over the place. But don't buy the hype on anything just being solidified yet about anyone going anywhere in free agency. There's still a lot to consider right now. I don't trust a whole lot of people that aren't, you know, verified sources. And again, this isn't say Mike Garofalo isn't, because the report that he said something was just not real. But as far as what other people are saying, you know, just take it one step at a time. You know, just when you see something, see if it's verified. The check mark is usually a good sign on Twitter, although even I've been fooled by that on occasion. There are some emojis that are made to look like check marks, but they're not really. There's also people with check marks that are fooled, and that's not the first time. But there's going to be a lot of things that are moving around. Another news point for a division rival, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported on Sunday that the Bengals are planning to franchise tag AJ Green because they want him. No matter what next season, AJ Green's contract was up, and now this would be a way to give Joe Burrow a definite target. If Joe Burrow is for sure their target for the number one draft pick, the Bengals are a team that they're kind of in a new place. You know, they got Zach Taylor. They're trying to figure out what works for them. They have never really solidified their own plans of how they operate. I don't see AJ Green being franchise tagged as too big of a problem. The Bengals have more cap space. They're in a complete rebuild, and they need a person to set the tone for the locker room. AJ Green may be the best Bengal that we have seen since like the Anthony Munoz era. I'm trying to think back, and I even put AJ Green. I mean, you could say Chad Ochocinco. It's a whole other story about who's the best Bengal ever. I'm sure the guys from Locked On Bengals would give me a whole list of people. But I remember going to the Bengals Steelers game back in 2017 in Cincinnati, and it was like their 50th anniversary, and they listed like their top 50 Cincinnati Bengals. And I mean, like some of the guys in the top 10. It was very depressing. But anyways. So that's just the talk there. You know, AJ Green definitely sticking with the Bengals. Him, you could probably take him off your free agency boards that you're looking at. Tom Brady is not solidified. Bud Dupree, again, a lot of these big name guys that are still, you know, maybe they'll get franchise tagged. A lot of those guys, you won't hear about it until we know about this CBA. There's supposed to be a player vote this week. Some people are expecting that the players union will agree and get this ball rolling. So I'll keep taps on that for you guys. We'll be talking about that again very soon on the show. All right, with that, going to the next break. After that, we got Mock Draft Monday. Going to talk all the mock draftness and announce our winner of who had the best mock draft from the Locked On Steelers listeners. Back in a sec. All right, let's get to Mock Draft Monday, y'all. It's the fun part of the show where I go over the latest mock drafts out there, and then we talk about who you guys picked as your mock drafts. So let's start with, we partner with the Draft Network on this. Trevor Sekema, fellow Locked On podcaster as well. He produced his sixth mock draft. And, you know, he had some interesting lineups here. Had Tua going all the way down to 13 to the Colts. Had some trades up in here. You know, some of the things are pretty standard. He had, you know, the Bengals Burrow, Redskins get Chase Young, Lions get Jeffrey Okuda. All those are standard. Who did he have? The Dolphins are taking 18. Trick question. He didn't have the Dolphins taking 18. He had them trading the pick to the Philadelphia Eagles and giving them the 21st pick and the 117th pick. And he had the Eagles selecting cornerback Christian Fulton out of LSU. Now, the Eagles are desperate to get a cornerback this year. Their secondary was trash this past season. They were getting toasted left and right. They need answers to the position. So it makes sense that they would trade up and get desperate to get one of those guys. But is that pick better than Minkah Fitzpatrick? Get the heck out of here. That ain't, you know, he ain't even close. Now, maybe someday he turns out to be good, but no. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a dog. So we're gonna skip through that. Now, second round, so let's get to where this, you know, we're getting closer to the Steelers picking. Had some interesting selections here. Starting off with Lucas Young. Trevor had about at least 10 offensive linemen getting selected before the Steelers picked, which is around the range of where I think it's going to be. Because I really think, if in my heart of hearts, if I was a Pittsburgh Steeler and I had a top, if they had that 18th pick, I'd be going, well, they had an 18th pick, they wouldn't have Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they'd need to get a playmaker on defense. So that's another story. But if they had this roster right now in a middle first round draft pick, I would be going offensive line. There's too many good tackles and too many good guards that would be to be passed up in the first round. But the problem is that they start just flying off the board at some point. For example, Lucas Niang going to the Bengals with the 33rd pick here. You got Austin Jackson out of USC going at 36 to the Giants. You know, and he also, Trevor has J.K. Dobbins going to the Dolphins at 39. I think it's a very good pick right there. Dobbins, you know, I think some people are going to be hesitant on him because he didn't perform at the combine. So they're going to need to see his pro day. I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to that too. Another notable pick here, Lloyd Cushenberry III, great name, love this guy, goes to the Bears. He's a center. You know, he's a center for LSU. He's the better of their two interior offensive linemen out here. Damian Lewis is the other. Damian Lewis is one of my favorite sleepers in this draft, by the way. So if you're picking him on your mock drafts, you're doing something that caters yourself more to my likings. Anyways, Lloyd Cushenberry III to the Bears. Why is that big? Well, as I mentioned earlier, he interviewed with the Steelers. So that's something certainly to talk about. Then the Buccaneers getting DeAndre Swift at 45. DeAndre Swift, of course, another running back. Now, this is interesting because this has been very rare among the mock drafts, but the Falcons then take Cam Akers at 47, another running back off the board. So this, in all, has three running backs getting selected before the Steelers at 49. Very interesting there. So that's something that hasn't happened too often with these mock drafts. 49th pick, what does Trevor have? He has the Steelers going to Michigan, getting Joshua Uche. I think it's Uche, might be Uche. Edge rusher from Michigan, former Devin Bush teammate. Does anybody actually pay attention to what goes on in Steelers? Does anybody out there actually do? People picking edge rushers with the second round pick. Stop it. They're probably going to keep Bud Dupree. Why would they make their first pick of this draft class a position that they're going to have two people pay top dollar to? I just don't see that happening. I just don't see an edge rusher in the top pick. You know, and especially when you can, when you're still looking at other running backs on the board, playmakers on offense on the board. You know, KJ Hamler from Penn State would still be there. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire would still be there. Zach Moss would still be there. There's too many guys that I would just pick over an edge rusher, and even with the offensive line, I'd be considering that. So, just no, I'm not doing that. And then he also went into the third round, but of course this doesn't have the Steelers compensatory pick in it, so that's there. All right, so that was Trevor's picks. I'm sure you really don't care about him. You really want to know who won it. And by it, of course, I mean the Mock Draft Monday contest that we've been doing here on Locked On Steelers for quite some time. We had 34, well, at least 34 that I counted, submissions here for people's mock drafts. So thank you to all those who participated. It's always fun reading over your picks. There's some really good ones. This one didn't win. I'm just going to give an honorable mention for a shout out. Pardon me if I mess up your name, good sir. But I think it's Jake Vasile. Jake, my man here, noted that I've been telling people to stay off edge rusher from that first pick, and Jake made it a point to draft 5 edge rushers. So congratulations, Jake. You that made me really actually chuckle. As well as you, Leo Sell, who continues to assault my pick of running backs, and he made one of all running backs. I don't want all running backs. I just think that there's going to be a good one at that second round pick. Anyways, let's get to the actual winner here. And that is Jordan Pearsall. Congratulations, you're our winner of the week as far as the Mock Draft Monday. All right, let's get into why Jordan won here. First of all, Leo Sell. Yes, I do think the running back position is legitimate, and I think that it should be addressed with this topic, and I think there's going to be a guy available. And Jordan did the right thing in picking Jonathan Taylor at the 49th pick. Now, again, I'm a little skeptical on Taylor because of the wear and tear and the fumbleitis. But, man, when you see that guy run a sub-4-4, ooh, that just gets me going in the morning. I'm telling you, I want a home run hitter at running back, a guy that can not only have the top speed but also know how to navigate the blockers and make people miss in space. This guy has a mean stiff arm. I really like the upsides of Jonathan Taylor, just very wary about the downsides. But it wasn't just Jonathan Taylor that made Jordan's draft class for me, y'all. It was who he picked afterwards. He got Albert Okwugbenum, the tight end out of Missouri that led everyone in 40 times. I think that he could be a potential playmaker, but I am not on the side of drafting this guy with a second round pick or addressing anybody with a tight end in the second round. I just don't see the value there. But if you get him one of those fourth round picks, I'm okay with that, especially him or Bryson Hopkins or one of those top guys. Cole Kmet and them, they're probably going to go in the second and third rounds. But you know, with Okwugbenum, I was down with that. But on also, he followed it up with another fourth round pick, Chase Claypool, a huge wide receiver, ran a 4.42. That guy is explosive. I do think this is what's going to happen. I do think that the Steelers are going to address the receiver position, but they're not going to do it early. They're going to do it in the middle to late rounds, when you're going to be able to see a lot of speedsters on the board that aren't getting drafted because they want a burner. And I think that they recognize that because they miss having a burner in Martavis Bryant. That's why they brought in Johnny Holton originally. That's why they eventually brought in Deion Kane. That's what they hoped Dante Moncrief could be. But, you know, the only really one that's worked out so far is Deion Kane. Now, Deion Kane will be back, but they want a guy that could become a playmaker along with that. And Claypool looks like he could be the guy. So Chase Claypool, impressive performance at the combine, which gets a nod here from Jordan Hislick. He had Zach Shackelford, interior offensive lineman, out of Texas, and you look at the guy's profile and you see some of the tape on him. He's obviously, there's a reason why he's in the bottom of the draft class. You know, he doesn't have technically sound. He's not exactly strong at the point of attack all the time, but he is good at getting to people with different like reach blocks. You know, I've seen some good plays with him out in space and getting to a guy that's a distance away. That's important to offensive linemen. The Steelers might take a look at that. I see some upside there with how that they love to pull their guys and have them hit somebody out in space. And at the end of the day, that is something that's really important to them. But Jordan's final pick, an interesting one to add to the quarterback room, getting Cole McDonald out of Hawaii. Of course, Cole McDonald led all quarterbacks this year with a 4.58 40-yard dash time. I know that's probably what got Jordan to look at him. And you know, that's cool when a quarterback can put on a performance like that. But, you know, McDonald is going to, the reason he's way down the list here is, you know, he does have arm strength. He can fire the ball down the field. And that's something that when I see that, you know, he does have a cannon. He can hit the deep ball, and he can throw a deep, tight spiral that puts a ball on a rope. Those things are good. But the problem is all his mechanics. He doesn't have a consistent throwing motion. It can be rather lengthy. And when you have a longer throwing motion, that means that people have to help explain it in an easier way. You want to have the shortest throwing motion because it involves the least amount of motion. The least amount of motion prevents defenders from less time from getting to you, but also it reduces the amount of muscle memory you have to have to continue to be accurate. You know, think about, I'm trying to think of a way to make an analogy to someone who, like the casual fan. Think about when you're playing darts. I think this is a good way to put it. When you're playing darts, you see some people that don't know what they're doing. They're playing darts. They wind up, they throw. The more motion you put into that throw into the dartboard, the more wild your throw is going to be. But when you see the professional dart players, they put their elbow in the spot, they bring their wrist back, and they flick it. And that's because they know how to get just enough power that they want and they need to make the throw they need to make, but also they limit the amount of motion so that there's a smaller target area that they're actually going to hit because they've trained their muscles and their arm enough that they're like, hey, I can go in the same in this direction and hit this part of the board. Same thing applies for quarterbacks. You want the least amount of motion because, again, defenders coming around, you need every tenth of a second to get that ball off. But also, you want to make sure that the ball is going in a smaller target area and not being as wild. Cole McDonald, his target area was all over the place. Now, he played in sort of a run and shoot offense, a very collegiate style offense. So again, that's not something that's going to speak to the NFL too well. But there were times, because I did look at his stuff when I saw his 40-yard time. I was like, let me at least check out what the guy has. Looked at some of his tape. There were times that you saw him make some good progressions, look around the field, look guys off, check into some other types of throws. Sometimes you check down a little too much, but that just happens in the run and shoot offense. But when things, kind of got off track, that's when you saw, when pressure got to him, he wouldn't lose his mind. He'd still look to make a play. But, say if his first read wasn't there, his second read wasn't there, he would kind of, that's when he kind of would lose it. And if his timing was off, it kind of messed everything up. But Cole McDonald, certainly, you put him in the room, he might beat a Devlin Hodges because he has a cannon arm, because he has speed, because he's 6'4". So he has a lot of the things that you at least want the basics of a quarterback to have. Now, if he could learn the playbook, that might win him over. But also, don't forget Paxton Lynch and JT Barrett might be in that conversation as well. So again, congratulations, Jordan, on winning this week's Mock Draft Money. Thanks, to all those who participated. We're going to pick a new winner next week. I'll be posting it on the Facebook group on Friday. I do also accept submissions to my Twitter account, at Carter Critiques. It's just easier for them to funnel, for me to look through all of them when I'm going over the show on the weekend and pick a surefire winner on the Facebook group. So again, if you want to participate and get and see what the rest of the competition has for you out there, get to the Facebook group as soon as you can. Just search Locked On Steelers. We'll come up as a group. You ask to join, I'll add you as soon as I can, and get you into the group. And you can get to talk with all of our Locked On listeners, or follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you do, I'll follow you back. Hit with a DM. Always down to chat with everyone. Thanks so much. You help make the show so much better all the time by contributing to the Locked On podcast community just by talking with us. And if you want to contribute just a little bit more, we appreciate, if you're not subscribed already, hit that subscribe button. We're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Apple, we're everywhere where podcasts are hosted. If you like the show, please leave a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. If it's safe for work, I'll read it on air. We've had a couple that aren't safe for work, and I'm like, oh, relax, buddy. But thanks so much for everyone that does that. If you've already done it, please feel free to do it again. This stuff helps me get the word out about the show. Tomorrow, it's Tony Tuesdays. Tony Serino will be back in studio. I mean, we're in different places, but you know what I mean. Anyways, we'll be back with the show with Tony Tuesdays tomorrow, talking about some XFL and some other things. Hope you guys have a good Monday and that I helped get you through it. See you tomorrow.